The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire, Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ne kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Today on Into All the World, we will be talking with President Everett and Cheryl Benton from the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission. The history of the church in Argentina. Two Latter-day Saint families emigrated from Germany to Argentina in about 1923. They began sharing their beliefs through local newspapers and wrote letters to the First Presidency requesting missionaries. 3 years later, Church Apostle Melvin J. Ballard was sent to Argentina and six people were baptized. Soon after, the South American mission was created. Elder Ballard later prophesied that the work will go forth slowly, just as the oak grows from an acorn. But the South American mission will become a power in the church. Membership grew slowly for the first 20 years. In 1945, membership in Argentina was 800. But by 1978, membership had reached about 40,000 members. Current membership in Argentina is 380,669.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss the growth of the church around the world. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me by phone today are Sister Cheryl Benton and President Everett Benton, who are currently serving as mission president in the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission. President Benton converted to the church when he was 22 after a sister had been baptized a few years earlier. He attended law school in Houston, Texas, where he and Cheryl had their four children. Before their call, President Benton was CEO of Five Star Quality Care, a company that owns and manages nursing homes, hospice care, and hospitals in Boston. They have seven grandchildren and one on the way. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for having
us. Well, thank you. You're quite the sleuth to get all of that correct, Brother Taggart.
Well, it's wonderful to be able to talk to currently serving mission president and companion and to be able to share with you the spirit of your calling and the wonderful experiences you're having there in Buenos Aires. Tell us a little bit, as we begin, a little bit about the mission area and the members. What makes Argentina and Buenos Aires a little bit different than maybe some of the other Spanish-speaking missions of the church?
Okay, well, why don't, Sister Benton, did you have something on that?
One thing that I enjoy going to Relief Society here, all the sisters expect a hug and a kiss on the cheek when you walk into the room, and everyone's so nice here and loving.
Well, that's actually a great great way to put it. They call it a gran abrazo, so a big hug, and everybody, and so they don't just have a handshake here. They do have this big hug, and everybody is fairly loving. Just very quickly, Argentina has about 40 million inhabitants, and the church has around 350,000. In addition, the landmass here, if you count the way the Argentines do, they include part of Antarctica. They're the seventh largest landmass country in the world. It's eighth largest by some other measures. So it's a fairly large country, and there's certainly an awful lot of resources. They are predominantly European. Clearly, 90-some percent are of European, mostly Spanish and Italian descent, and just a few would be called indigenous natives that are not really in the Buenos Aires area at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fairly has a European flavor to it. Although they certainly have the Latin concepts, and in many ways they're very, very open to the gospel. As far as the church is concerned, as I said, there are 350,000 members, and there are about 700 chapels, capillas. And so we've done very, very well here over the last 50 years that the church has really started taking off. Our own mission, we have seven stakes, two districts, and one dependent branch, dependent upon the mission. The districts are under the auspices of the mission, and in those districts we have 10 branches, And then altogether, there are about 80 units, or mostly wards, and then 13 branches. So it's a fairly strong area. In our mission, there are a little over 25,000 members, and we're fortunate that we're adding a little over 100 and something good, solid converts a month. So the church is growing here, and we're grateful for it. I tell you just a quick story. We've got two great couples here. One is the Smith family from Orem. Brother Smith served here, we like to say, during the Dark Ages, about 47 years ago. And I gave you all the facts about what we had. When he served here, it was a two-and-a-half-year mission, and there was just one mission, and then they divided it into two. And there were 3,000 members and about 12 chapels. And there were about 150 missionaries.
That's remarkable.
Now we have 10. Now we have 10 missions, 1,800 missionaries. We have 700 chapels and pushing 400,000 members. So in the Lord's time, you see all of a sudden, wow, isn't this great? You know, when you can look back and you've got a good brother like that that brings his knowledge of history, and you say, okay, we are moving this forward.
Yeah.
We are seeing great things. So we're grateful for that, that's for sure.
Well, President Hinckley always used to say that the church is grown over generations. And I bet you begin to see that with the rising generations of members who have been members, have attended primary, young men, young women, and seminary, and gone on missions and come back to establish their own families.
Yes, yeah, so one thing I was really pleasantly surprised to see when we arrived here is that the members are very strong in a number of the wards here, and they are a great example to me. And it's the ones who have had the church membership passed on from generation to generation. They're truly an inspiration to me.
How many of your missionaries come from Argentina or other areas in Latin America?
Well, let me just give you an overall view. When we got here, there were about 186 missionaries. Right now, we have 168. That includes the two senior couples. Of that, 63 are Latins, and the majority of those, almost 30, are from Chile.
Mm.
We have about 8 that are from Argentina, and I think it's one of these cross-pollinization concepts where we'll send the Argentines to other countries, predominantly Bolivia, Venezuela, and Chile, and then those Chileans and a lot of Peruvians come our way. So 63 Latins, and then we have 14 sisters, and that includes one mini missionary. We actually have 13 sisters, and so when we have an odd lot or when we don't have quite enough to fill, we'll actually pull in mini missionaries, and it's different than in the United States. These are actually approved by the stake president. They're set apart, and they come, and they serve for one transfer for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous opportunity for us and for them as well. So we actually have one mini missionetta, we'd say right now, of the 168.
Great. And what a wonderful program. Besides the proclaiming the gospel, it's a wonderful program to be able to cement relationships with other nationalities and other peoples. Because that friendship you develop when you're companions together in the work is really remarkable. I'm sure
it is so much. That's for sure. We see
and
that all the time.
Really gratifying to see the English, the North American English speakers teach the Latin missionaries English,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so gratifying to see them working together. And we have the Latin missionaries come to Zone Conference prepared to give a talk in English and a prayer in English and to bear their testimony. And that is so gratifying to see them make progress in this. And it's real bonding with the companionship as well.
Well,
actually, I might just add to that. I'm sorry, Brother Taggart.
No.
Just very quickly, what Sister Benton is referring to is that about a little more than 2 years ago, we started a pilot program, not us, the church did, and now it's expanded to all the Latin missions, I believe, that there is an English program, a training program for the Latins. And there are three books that are sent down, and they have church-related content. And they start with each book. There are 25 modules. And then each the Smith family, again, interesting enough, is in charge of helping them. And then at the end of getting those modules done, they take a test, a vocabulary test, and then they take a test which can certify them to get a certificate from BYU. And we've passed out about 40 of those certificates over the last completion certificates over the last 2 years. It's a marvelous program. And they as you know, if you come on a foreign language mission, you have a half hour every day to learn the language. Well, what is your Latin companion or the native companion doing it during that time? Now, he also or she has the opportunity and responsibility to work on their English. And so we have this deal where you, one day you talk in English in your apartment, the other day you talk in Spanish. And we're seeing some wonderful fruits. The joy of that, beyond our obvious primary and overwhelming purpose of proclaiming the gospel, is that we're training up these great leaders in the future, and this is one other addition that the Latins can add. It dramatically blesses them as far as being able to get employment of a far higher caliber. It's just a marvelous, marvelous blessing. It's so fun. I will read a couple of letters in our zone conferences from the Latins, and before you know it, every Latin is trying to write me letters in English.
That's great. That's great. Well, and again, you see that long-term vision of the church and blessing lives, because their ability to be wonderful priesthood leaders in the future, as well as being able to earn an income that allow them to support their family. It's a great, great help.
You bet.
That's true. It's very gratifying.
As you look
and quite bonding in the companionship.
I'm sure that's true, and very helpful for both. I think that's great. Have you seen much impact from the Perpetual Education Fund down in that area?
Yes. I don't have, obviously, as much as the good brethren that are in the area office.
Sure.
We see that they send out a lot of materials, and then in every final interview, there are a couple of things that occur. I'll then pass along the information and make sure that they're aware of it, and then when they go back, their stake president is told about is if they have desires and we try to push that, then the stake president is obviously aware and helps them get involved. Here in the Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay area, we have a couple of brethren that are actually in charge of it, and I see the benefits of it. It's as you say, it's another testimony of the long term, obviously eternal view that the church has of things like that.
Share with us a couple of experiences that you've seen where you've had missionaries, whether from North America or from Latin America, that have really seen a great deal of growth in their life because of their mission.
You know, we see it every 6 weeks.
It is.
When we send missionaries home, they come so afraid and kind of just a little bit of lack of confidence at first and not knowing what to expect. And then when I look out at over the missionaries in Zone Conference, I can almost tell the ones who are ready to go home because they're mature, they're confident, and seasoned. And it's just such a huge difference between the time they arrive and the time they leave. It really blesses their lives. They go home confident, more spiritually grounded young people.
Yeah. You know, that's a great question, Brother Taggart. We had a wonderful assistant who went home a little while ago. He really struggled in the MTC in Provo, and I didn't know this until he actually was called as the assistant. I saw him grow so much, and he just had just such a wonderful, wonderful, positive attitude. And he struggled a little bit with the language, and then all of a sudden it blossomed, and everyone wanted to be around him. Mm-hmm. It just was a great, great young man. And then he told me that when he got to the MTC, he called his parents up and he said, "I can't make this. This is not for me. I need to come home." And as he said, it was funny, his mother said, just give it 2 weeks. And his father said, son, just give it 6 months, knowing that he'd be here in Argentina. And he said, you know, I just had to, what I did was I just knelt down and I said, Heavenly Father, if this is true. And so he struggled, obviously, didn't quite have that confirming testimony. He said, I will put all my faith in you.
And he became an assistant of ours, and also he was able to talk with other missionaries who wanted to go home and give them courage and strength from his own experience.
That was exactly it. We then used his great, and we had a couple, and there aren't many, but they get here and they're just so worried, and a darkness seems to settle over a couple of times. Can I do this? No, I don't think I can do it. And he was able to just reach out and talk with them and help them. He said, look, here, look at me. Look where I am now. You'll be fine. And that, like Sister Benton said, every 6 weeks we cry and send home these men.
Mature,
arrived
young people.
As young boys, really, still.
And women.
Yes. And now they go forward as future leaders of the church. It's just, it is exhilarating and it's humbling.
We were just reading a letter that we received from a missionary who went home to North America about three transfers ago. And he was saying in the letter that he misses the spirituality that he would have 24/7 every day on the mission. And he misses having the Spirit with him in such a great force. So they learn to know the Spirit here, and they learn to know what it means to do missionary work, and they learn to love it.
I've often wondered if it isn't a little bit of a parable of life as we see the missionaries go home and we cry with them, and their hearts are just tearing apart, having to leave everyone they've loved and the life they've loved, and yet on the other side, they have parents and everyone waiting to welcome them. And I wonder if that isn't a little bit like our leaving this mortal sphere and going back to loved ones that are waiting
for
us.
That thought has struck me, too. I finally came to accept the whole routine because I have such a hard time letting go of the missionaries to go home. But it's like eternal progression.
Yeah. Well, and
they grow, and then they go to the next stage.
The wonderful thing, as someone who has crossed the veil, the mission veil, is it's wonderful to be with those returned missionaries for years to come. So,
we're looking forward to that.
We're speaking with Sister Cheryl Benton and President Everett Benton, who are currently serving in the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, and I'm your host, Tim Taggart. Share with us, if you would, a little bit of the challenges that the missionaries face and maybe you face as a couple in the mission field in Argentina.
You know, you could go on with that forever. We like to say that they're, in Spanish that'd be called desafío. A challenge is perhaps an opportunity as well, and that's what we like to look at it as. We really stress that they're because it's still a very young church, we have a lot of help from the members, but we really have to stress going out and finding good, the elect, as we say. And with regard to that, we require, not require, but we have a standard, estandarte, to try and really talk with, outside of your normal proselyting, about 10 people per missionary per day. So that amounts to 140 a week. Well, if you think about that over the course of 2 years, that's 14,000. And many of these young men and women actually do that. And that becomes quite a challenge for them when they first do it. And knocking on doors, they clap doors here. They stand out front and clap. But let me tell you a real fun story about just that same concept, though. And there's a lot of good churches here. The evangelistas, the evangelicals, are very strong, and you know, obviously they bring good things to people. Well, we one of our good missionaries, Elder Woodmansee, and his companion were knocking doors, and they came across Berta and Alicia, and they were mother and daughter, 50 and 80 years old, and they said, "Come in, you have such a rare accent. We'd love to talk to you." And they started talking about him, and they said, we'd like you to come to church. And he said, oh, you know, we don't know. We were just baptized in the evangelical church 3 days ago. and so they were taken back, these two good elders, and realizing that this happened so often to them, they went ahead and said, well, you know, I think you'll find something a little different. So they accepted. So these two good sister Berta and Alicia came to church the next weekend. They brought their one of their boys, and so the elders, seeing that they came, ran up and asked the president of the Relief Society if she could help, and she assigned two sisters to sit by them. Well, they talked to them about what was going on the whole time, just did their assignment perfect. Said, here's why it's different. We've got this person who's up there, and he has a separate job, and then here are the songs we'll do, and here's how the sacrament works. Well, at the end, before the missionaries could even come up and see them, they were whisked away to the Relief Society, and so they went and checked to see how they're doing, and these two women are arguing over who's going to sit next to these two investigators. Well, I know her from before, and the other one said, well, you sat with her already. Well, so they stayed the whole time, and then somebody walked them home, and so the elders weren't able to see them. And so they came by a couple of days later. They couldn't get by. The sisters, these two ladies, were indisposed, and so the elders said that they said, well, what did you think? And this Bertha said, for 50 years, I've been looking for a church. I have never been to a church where I found so much love and care from the members. And Chicos, they call them boys here, we want to get baptized in your church. And that was about a year and a half ago. And now they're still active. And members of their family are now coming in that hadn't lived with them. So while it's always difficult, there's such tremendous stories like that that just cause your heart to say, oh yes, aren't we doing what the Lord wants us to do? It makes it wonderful, wonderful stuff.
It's so gratifying to see how the gospel blesses people's lives and actually strengthens them and helps them to do better in every area of their life. And the joy that it brings is incredible.
And isn't it amazing to see how the lives change of members of the church, not just spiritually, but temporally and in every way as they grow in the kingdom?
Yes.
Have you got anything come to mind of some of these conversion stories that where you've seen that kind of growth, besides the one you just mentioned?
Yes, when we first arrived here, I was very impressed with a member of a stake Relief Society presidency. She was a counselor and an attorney, and she lived in one of the poorest areas of our mission, and she just had a light about her. I thought she was so wonderful, Sister Gomez, and she had joined the church 2 years previously, and she was already a member of the Relief Society presidency, and she's so happy to be a member, and then she's now moved out of that area and into a nicer area, and she now has a home. And she got up at a baptism, the baptism of her 81-year-old father, actually, and told the ways that the church has blessed her life in the last four years now. So, and my husband knows the rest of that story.
Well, thanks, sweetie, Sister Benton. Actually, there is a fun two parts to that. So she became an abogado, a lawyer. Just after she was joined, she worked to become a lawyer, and now she blesses the lives of many members by helping them with their problems. But there is a fun sequel to that. We have two strong sisters, Sister DiStefano, who's just gone home, and Sister Lopez. They were walking fairly quickly to try to get some work done, and they walked past this woman, and they heard the word Mormon, and they turned around, and they said, Are you a Mormon? She said, oh, and this was Sister Gomez. And she said, oh, sister, I was just telling him what a joy is. She was talking to a neighbor of her father's. It's such a joy that it is to be a member. And she said, this is such a wonderful thing. My father's here. Can you come in now and teach him? And so she went in. They went inside, said, yes, of course, we'll teach him. And they were talking, and they started talking about the blessings of the gospel. And this good sister started telling about all her life, how her life had changed and been blessed, and she started crying. And then her father started, 81 years old, started crying. Mm. And the sister said, and then we started crying. and then this sister DeStefano said, Brother Gomez, would you like to have this feeling forever? And he said, yes, I would. And then she said, would you prepare yourself to be to follow the example of Jesus Christ and be baptized in this church? And he said, of course I would. Just one of those sterling moments. And it was it took three. He's so old, and he said, took three men. We had to put him in a chair to help him get down in the water. It was, that's one of many. We see people that literally live in one-room hovels. And over time, the joy of the gospel is that, of course, we see eternal blessings, but we see them dramatically change. And then in short periods of time, they show up. Just one good brother was sort of a kingpin in the street, and he had tattoos and piercings he said, you know, I just want to change my life. And this was about 6 months ago. I saw him, had to have I interviewed him, and he had a nice shirt on. They said, boy, he just looks so much better. The next time I saw him was at a state conference a couple of months later. He had a beautiful suit and a white shirt and a very nice tie, perfectly dressed. And he had his younger brother, and he said, my younger brother's taking the lessons now. He said, I've got another job. I've moved out away from the problems that I had before. And then we were at another meeting, saw him, he had his mother there, and he just is a changed man. So in just a short period of time, and he was he's preparing to receive the Melchizedek priesthood in another month. So you see these blessings that are just tug at your heart. It's just wonderful to see that.
And the change really that occurs just one miracle at a time, one life at a time.
That's true.
Great.
It's true, and in the missionaries too. It's just incredible.
What are some of the things that you see in what happens within the lives of the local sisters and the leadership of the church?
Oh, the local sisters. They love to get together. They love their Relief Society enrichment meetings. The local sisters are loving, they're strong. In fact, many times the sisters are many times their husbands don't join, or they don't have a husband, but they join the church, and they have love and light, and they enjoy getting together, and they cherish their Relief Society. Their Relief Societies, we have 80 chapels in our mission, and I go to a different Relief Society every Sunday, visiting a different chapel, and I'm always impressed with how they have the room decorated with all beautiful posters and sayings of Relief Society, and I can just look around the room and see how much they cherish their Relief Societies, and then the bond they have is just really beautiful to see.
So, Brother Taggart, you have positive evidence that all throughout the world, Relief Society is the same. The brethren show up, and, you know, they don't quite have their act together as well as these sisters. You go into the sisters' room, and it's just you say, oh, yes, I'm in the Relief Society room.
It's the same here as in the United States.
That's a miracle. And it just keeps moving forward and growing together. We're speaking with Sister Cheryl Benton and President Everett Benton, who are currently serving in the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, and I'm your host, Tim Taggart. We're speaking with Sister Cheryl Benton and President Everett Benton, who recently were called. Well, I guess it's been halfway through now. Their mission in the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission, and this is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, and I'm your host, Tim Taggart. We're grateful for your willingness to visit with us today and sense your enthusiasm and the spirit of this great mission experience that you're having. I understand that a story President Monson shared this last conference involved a sister in your mission. Any comments that you'd like to make about that?
Yes. As I listened to that, I was in the room listening with 12 missionaries to the English version of conference. I was in that room in the chapel. And when President Monson mentioned our mission, they all cheered because they've been taught to be proud of our mission. But I told them all, this sounds like Sister Gurr. And sure enough, it was. And I could see that how the hand of the Lord had worked in her life. Her 15-year-old brother passed away unexpectedly while she was serving a mission here in our mission. And her brother was her other brother was serving at the same time in Uruguay. And just I saw the hand of the Lord in Sister Gurr's life as I look back. She had come to the mission home. Her brother had passed away either on late Thursday night or a Friday morning. And she had come to the mission home Sunday night, the previous Sunday night, with her companion who was very ill. And they spent the whole week in the mission home while we were trying to get her companion recovered from her illness. And Sister Gurr, that week preceding her brother's death, had a lot of time to sit in the living room at the mission home and study her scriptures and feel the peace and ponder and feel the spirit. And I could see now, looking back, that the Lord blessed her with that. She was such a great example to me when she heard the news on Friday that her brother had passed away. In fact, I had to tell her that. And she was so prepared with scriptures to read and spiritually prepared and spiritually strong. And I know the hand of the Lord was in her life. Those kind of things are miracles to me, miracles that the ways the Lord leads and guides and protects and strengthens the missionaries. We see miracles every day like that.
And so very personal.
The Lord
deals with every individual according to their need.
It's true.
He does. Great family that she came from, too. They bore their testimony to me. They called me, and then I had to call Sister Benton. And they were here, and Sister Benton talked with Sister Gurr.
He was away doing interviews at the time. Mm-hmm. He got the word that the brother had passed away.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he called me, and I told Sister Gurr. So Evan, she's a very strong, spiritually strong young woman, and she came here. I think she would say too that she was just a little girl when she came here, and she left being a spiritually strong and confident young woman.
Boy, isn't that story repeated over and over again too?
Yeah,
it is.
It is.
It is.
Oh, that's marvelous. As you look at the way things have happened in your mission. Have you sensed that the temple within the area that the members have access to has made a difference in the church?
Oh, it clearly has.
A huge difference.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It happens that the temple is actually within our boundaries.
Oh.
Of our mission.
Yeah. And so every other transfer, the missionaries are allowed to go, and we use that as a tool. We send them with investigators, and we send them, we help to get our districts in. It's a tremendous blessing. It happens to sit on a highway, and there aren't many highways, but on a highway on the way to the airport, and so it's a prominent place, and you just say, oh, yes, it's the temple near Ecesa, the airport Ecesa, and everyone goes, oh, yes. Now there is an unfortunate or a bittersweet thing to that. It's done so well that last November it was closed for a major renovation, and so it probably will open hopefully just as we end our mission. But it's been a marvelous thing, and it truly is a tool. And we also always try to say that baptism is the gate, but to continue on the path you need to be part of the temple, and and then we explain the whole concept of an endowment, and you see that as they catch that vision, that those then are much firmer in the gospel as they strive toward that end. So it really is; it's a tremendous instrument, as is actually the Book of Mormon. We stress, Sister Benton actually has given a couple of good lessons on the questions of the soul. And there's a wonderful section, as you know, in Preach My Gospel on that. And we try to use the Book of Mormon and say, you know, it will always be there. It will always be a strength. And we stress that. And between those things, we see a tremendous benefit. Just a real quick story on that. We had a good set of elders. This is just a very recent story that went in, and they were going through the whole thing in this sort of a second lesson. They introduced the Book of Mormon, and this lady said, wait a minute. There are to be no other scriptures. I can't do that. And so they started backing up and started trying to help her and understand that. And she just had a very difficult time. Well, then one of the elders then said, you know, if you just turn with me to 2 Nephi, I guess it's chapter 27, isn't it? It's chapter 29, I'm sorry, where and they said, the reality is that the Lord wants us to have, that we need to have a lot more of scriptures, and that those are absolutely a necessary part of what's going on. So they read where it says, a Bible, a Bible. You'll say that we don't need another Bible. And then they went through it, and this lady's demeanor changed. And she said, let me read that again. And then she said, are you going to leave this? Would you mark that? And that was about a month ago, and she now has. She was about to throw them out. And now she has a baptismal date. We thought that I always marvel that you know, if we just recognize that the Lord will help us with regard to these things, and we just have to use the program that He sets out, it helps an awful lot.
President Benton has a great saying in the mission. He says to the missionaries, "Nunca se de por vencido," and that means never give up, never give up. And it's sort of like we go forward with those words in our minds, and it's true. If we don't give up, we see the success in our baptisms and with people being converted to the gospel.
It's that exercising faith before the answers come, and success.
That's right.
I'm sure that Preach My Gospel has made a great difference in your mission, as it has all over the world. Do the missionaries really catch the spirit of that wonderful document?
Well, you know, we strive very, very hard to make sure that we are a Preach My Gospel mission. We stress that zone conferences and the workshops that the leaders give and that we give are based upon things that are in there. You don't realize that. You think, well, they all know this, and then you do just a little survey and you realize that you've got this 6-week half-life. And so, you know, some have never heard it, and the people that have it down just left. And so that you're constantly going back and looking at this, the wonderful things that you can focus on. How do you get the spirit, the strength that the Book of Mormon brings to things, the concept that the wise use of time and planning is so essential, and using the members for getting these things through, all those are just reinforced day after day. And we, when we have interviews, I like to make sure that they, in fact, are reading and studying the Preach My Gospel and preparing the things that are in that to help their investigators. And it is truly a remarkable tool. And we're seeing that as we rely upon that and not try to reinvent the wheel, we have greater success.
Well, the Lord's given us such great tools, and you've mentioned the Book of Mormon and the impact in people's lives, and the fact that as a church we have the power of individual testimony and the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have the Book of Mormon, and then the constant revelation that comes from the leadership of the church. No wonder the church continues to grow.
Oh, yes.
No wonder.
As we conclude, we'd love to have you, if you would, share your testimony with us. President Benton, why don't you begin by sharing your testimony in English, and then Sister Benton, and then maybe, President, you would conclude with your testimony in Spanish, if you would.
Oh, thank you. Let's see, I'll start then. You know, it truly is a marvelous blessing for us to be here together. Sister Benton and I have not had the opportunity of working so close, hand in hand, as we have being here. It's truly a calling which is 24/7, 365, but we're strengthened in every way. We see the Lord's hand daily. I'm just overwhelmed at how many ways we see His tender mercies. And we see that with regard to that we are doing His work, that the gospel goes forward, and that He allows us to participate in this grand opportunity of helping. I know that my Heavenly Father lives, and that His Son, Jesus Christ, is our Savior. I know that we have a prophet today in Thomas S. Monson, and that Joseph Smith was the prophet of the Restoration. I thrill every day at the opportunity of reading in the Book of Mormon and knowing that it truly is the Word of God. There are so many evidences that we're given daily that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this wonderful Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is in fact the restored church and the true and living gospel on the earth today. And I leave you my witness in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So it's my turn, right?
Yes.
I also know that the gospel is true. It is part of every fiber of my being and every thought I have and every feeling I have. It is everything. And I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And I feel close to Him, so much closer to Him serving this mission every moment. And I feel I'm able to call on His help at any time. And it's a tremendous blessing. I tell them, I have a great-great-grandmother who knew the prophet Joseph Smith personally in Nauvoo, Illinois. And I tell the members here that my Tata Abuela, my great-great-grandmother, knew the prophet Joseph Smith personally, and she wrote in her history that he was a great prophet of God. And I tell them, they are pioneers like my grandmother, and they are creating church history here. And I can feel it just as much as the saints in Nauvoo felt the spirit and the fire of the gospel. I feel it here, and I feel that those who grab a hold of the rod and follow it and become members of the church are weaving strength in this country. And I tell them they're the pioneers of the future for this country. And I'm so thankful to see the gospel bless the lives of people, both missionaries and members of the church, and our lives every single day, every single moment. And I'm thankful, very, very thankful for this opportunity to be here and feel the Spirit, be so close to the Spirit always in this missionary work. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Estoy muy agradecido por este gran privilegio de participar en esta gran obra y para mis hermanos latinos especialmente. Es un placer para mí de compartir mi testimonio con ustedes. De verdad, soy un pobrecito yanqui. Mi mamá era puertorriqueña, pero todavía yo soy pobrecito gringo también. Pero con todo mi corazón es puro latino también. Sé que la iglesia es verdadera. Y es un gran placer para participar en esta gran obra con mi esposa, mi compañera eterna, y también con los misioneros acá en Buenos Aires, Argentina. Y de verdad, estamos haciendo la gran obra del Señor. Y con todo mi cuerpo, mi mente, mi corazón, mi alma, sé que la iglesia es verdadera. Y yo conozco un poquito el presidente Thomas S. Monson. Él es un gran hombre, pero más que eso, él es un profeta de Dios. Él es mi hermano, pero de verdad, él es un profeta viviente hoy en la tierra.
Y tenemos otras escrituras, otros libros que testifican que nosotros tenemos la verdad. Y el libro de Mormón es la palabra de Dios. Y finalmente, nuestro Salvador vive. Él vive. Por eso, con mi esposa estamos acá, tratando, luchando en la lid para ayudar a otras personas para venir a Él. Y con todo mi corazón de nuevo, sé que la iglesia es verdadera. En el nombre sagrado de mi Salvador Jesucristo. Amén.
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 Thank you, present Sister Benton. We appreciate so much your joining with us today from the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. Thanks for joining us. For more information on this program or to see pictures of those who are interviewed, visit us online at radio.lds.org. If you'd like to provide feedback or suggest participants, email us at radio@lds.org. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Into All the World.